So we are so excited. Oh, sorry. Gotta get situated here. To have you all here today. And yes, Life Church, we like to honor and celebrate all the ladies here today and in our lives. I know that Mother's Day can bring a lot of emotions. And I have experienced some that were not so great myself, from years of not being able to have children to getting pregnant, losing children, losing my mom. So I understand the myriad of things that can be thought today. But sometimes in the midst of the sadness and the sorrow, the Lord will sprinkle in one that maybe has a little bit of joy. So today I'd like to publicly announce that I am old. No, I'm just kidding. That Camp Grandma, it's coming to the Nortoon House this year. So, who? Oh, y'all want to know? Of course, it's the furthest place possible ever. The Alabama baby is having a baby. So, yes, we are pretty excited. Yes, to dispel all the rumors, but yes, it's Michaela and Landon in Alabama are giving us our first, so we think it's a girl, but we'll see. All right, but I hope you hear our heart that you, no matter what today makes you feel like or where you're at, that the Lord loves you, we love you, and you're not alone. And I know that the Lord has something to say to each and every one of us here today. Now, last week we were in Colorado visiting three of our children that live there, and we were going through the town that I grew up in. It's Castle Rock, Colorado, and it was a very small town when I lived there. It was so small it didn't even have a stop light, and my grandfather was the town pharmacist, the deputy sheriff, and the coroner. He was all of those things in this little town that we lived in. And as I was remembering back how my siblings and I, there's four of us, would spend our days. And at the time, we had lived in an acreage, and it was 5 acres. And my mother, before she became a Christian, was kind of, she was not real engaged mom. She was an MIA mom. And you think I'm joking with this, but no, you can ask my siblings. She literally would kick us out of the house after breakfast, and we were not allowed back in until maybe it was time to eat again. And so since we had 5 acres, we had plenty of space, you know, to get creative with our time. And we would watch, or maybe, no, we would launch our younger brother down the gully on his big wheel, because he was always going everywhere with the big wheel, to see how much air he could catch on the way down. And I have to say, my older brother, didn't think the toboggan was just for winter time. I won't tell you what he wanted to do on the horse manure hill with it. And then, because we were not contained to just our property, we would hike the hills filled with rattlesnakes. And of course, we'd get hot and we'd just decide we need to go swimming. I know you all think that I like lived in the 1800s, I know. But we would go swimming in these streams with these huge concrete tubings and rebar poking out of it. And at the time, I actually did think this could be kind of dangerous. So we were like free range children, and we would test the theory to see, it was so hot outside, you could what? Fry an egg. We'd sneak into the house and get an egg and see if that would really happen. And in the wintertime, we would, thankfully the Lord would protect us, we would take shortcuts across ponds and lakes that we thought were frozen all the way, that I know were not. Now, but when my mom would say we couldn't do a Kool-Aid stand or a lemonade stand or have lemonade, that's when the creative juices started flowing. It all began on a summer day when my mother's petunias, kind of like this, they were in full blossom. They were blooming and they were just so beautiful. In fact, they were so beautiful, we thought, you could just eat one. They look so delicious. They're so beautiful. And my sister, I'm pretty sure, thought, was the first one. She's like, this purple one, man, this looks like it would taste like a cluster of grapes, man. This looks like it could be like some grape candy or a grape popsicle. Let's check it out. So she let us all try it first. So she, you know, we're passing around the purple petunia and we're trying to figure out, ooh, does this taste as delicious as it looks? And I have to say, after taking bites, it was not quite as awesome as we thought, but we were determined to have a treat for the day. So I took my brother to the front of the house. He was the cute one. He was younger. He had cross eyes. He had glasses. I mean, mom just loved him. So we tried to distract her in the front of the house with something with Andy. My sister was going in the back door into the kitchen. She was taking her grimy hands into the sugar bowl, stuffing her pockets with sugar. Meanwhile, my older brother was slithering down the stairs to the family room, picking up one of these. You know, all know what this is? So this is a mortar and pestle. My father was actually a pharmacist as well. And so all of a sudden we decided we became chemists that day. So we thought we're going to put these petunias in this mortar and pestle and we're going to squish it up. My sister came in with her sugar, grimy hands. Then we pour some water in and we're like mixing up our petunia Kool-Aid. Then we're passing around the bowl to each other, drinking out of it. And you know what? It was pretty good. Probably because it was just sugar water. But we had made our summer delicious drink, regardless of what my mother would let us do. And I think back on that, and if any of you know me now, just like Joan said, or Sylvia, we all have wet wipes in our thing. I would not go near that concoction today. If my children brought me this concoction, I would be like, no. Let's think about it. Flowers that were in the dirt where bugs and Miracle-Gro goes. The sugar that was scooped up, you know, imagine like a five-year-old handful of, you know, what they look like. Sugar. And then all sharing this cup that was made of metal, probably full of lead. And sharing it all together. And everybody knows how much I like my straws. So I think about how I have maybe matured a little bit in the natural over the years, but also in my spiritual life. Now, my family calls it, I'm a germaphobe, but I like to call it disease prevention. Mom's always taking care of everything. So I think back and how I've matured and learned things along the way, not just in the natural, but also in my spiritual life. And isn't that really our goal? To become more wise today from learning from our mistakes from yesterday, to have maybe a little bit more faith today for the fear that hit us yesterday, and to be more wise in each and every day to learn how to be a little bit more like Christ. And every day we have the opportunity to learn. Now, I came across this quote the other day, and it says, life is a journey of learning what is important. How do we learn what is important? Now, how many of you guys remember the little golden books? I feel like I'm aging myself this day. How many of you guys read these as kids, the little golden books? Yes. Like, you know, yeah. And so this particular one, I'm kind of glad I have this table today. This particular one, this is a golden book. It says, everything I need to know, I learned from a little golden book. And so it basically, each page is a different from a different one of their books. Now, I have to say, they started publication in 1942 with only 12 titles. And today, they have over 1,100 titles. But I do want to read a couple of these to you because I'm also thinking, now these were their earlier works, like from the 40s and 50s. And I'm thinking to myself, interesting, I'd like to read the rest of that book. This first one says, is your life starting to feel like a circus? Well, don't panic, as her hair is falling out of her head. And today's a new day. And I like that. The next one here is, now, I know you can't see this, but it has this maid, this old woman that looks like a maid in a dress, and a woman in her dress vacuuming. And it says, get dressed first thing. Sweatpants are bad for morale. Put on something nice. Women, how many of us, you know, put on our dresses to do the vacuuming? That was from 1951 and 1955. Let's see here. The next one, and again, I didn't realize TV was around then in 1959. No, I'm just kidding. It says, turn off the TV from time to time. That's always a good one still today. This is one of their earliest ones. It says, be open to making no friends, even if you're very, very shy. This one is probably my favorite. Again, you can't really see it. There's this like fox-looking character. And at first, when I was looking at this, I'm like, why does he have salt and pepper around his neck? Like, he's got a salt and pepper shaker around his neck. And then I look who he's doing. It says, stay clear of shady characters. So there's all these like birds, turkeys, ducks going towards this fox. And he's a shady character. I guess he wants to eat them and he wants them to be tasty. That's what you want to read your child as they go to bed. And same with this one. Choose your companions wisely. Again, it's always a good thing. Gingerbread guy getting eaten by the fox. This is our children, our childhood. Make something from nothing. Petunia Kool-Aid, right? And this one is hilarious because, again, this is a child's book. This one says, be romantic. And this one says, don't forget to enjoy your wedding day. So, girls, that's where we get it early on. Our mom's saying, be romantic. Come on, enjoy your wedding day. Couple more here. This is one's for Pastor Mike. Think big, dream big, maybe. And the last one is give thanks. So some of those are good, but some of them also I'm thinking, what is the context that that is really showing us? Now, obviously, we know everything we need to learn is not from this book, but is from what book? The Bible, that's right. And today we're going to learn about two sisters where Jesus let them know what the one important thing is. And we're going to begin the tale of two sisters in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one, the one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray over the next moments, Lord, that you just fill us, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord. Put away the distractions and the noise of this world. Lord, I pray that you lift those burdens and remove the yokes, Lord, from what's weighing us down today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in these four verses, there is a lot going on in these four verses. And it says it was this village. Well, this town, this village was named, it was actually Bethany. It was 2 miles east of Jerusalem and just a little south of the Mount of Olives. So it just bordered the Mount of Olives. It was about 1,500 feet above sea level. And at this time, it was about 4 months prior to the crucifixion, and it was during the Feast of Dedication. So it was December, and it was cold, and Jesus and his disciples didn't want to stay outside for very long. And it says that it was Martha's home. So at this point, we think that she was probably a widow, and she had a younger sister named Mary and a younger brother named Lazarus. Now, Jesus loved this family. It said over and over in Scripture that he loved this family, and he actually loved this town of Bethany. He felt welcome there. It is where he rested. It is actually the place where he stayed overnight the entire week of his last week of his earthly ministry before the crucifixion. It is where he ascended 40 days after the resurrection. And it is prophesied in Zechariah that it is the place that he is going to return. This is a pretty special place. And it's funny, when you think of the name Bethany, it actually means the house of misery. You wouldn't think that that would be the case. And it was speculated that Bethany was almost a hospice area. It was designated place for the sick and those with contagious diseases on the outskirts of town. You see, Jesus has always been drawn to the sick and to the outcast and to the disease. He's always been drawn to people like us. Not the perfect people, not the people that got it all together. He's drawn and he feels most at welcome with us. And I love it that when he comes back, he is going to break the disease. He's going to break the misery. He's going to break death once and for all in the exact place. I don't know. I'm a geek. I like that kind of stuff. And it says Martha welcomed Jesus into her home with a happy heart. So it was her home. And she was glad to have him there. She was so excited to see Jesus. Again, they loved each other. And you have to realize it wasn't just Jesus knocking on her door and his 12 disciples. Actually, in Luke 8:1-3, it describes the myriad of people that actually traveled with Jesus at the time, and there were several ladies. And I have to say, if you think about it, I don't think these 13 men can go from town to town without a bunch of women along, cooking and cleaning and doing laundry. That's not why they were there, but they were there. There were women, there were other people. So there was about between 20 to 25 to 30 people knocking on Martha's door. And there was no warning. There was no texting. Oh, hey, yo, me and my homies are coming over for dinner. So you better get ready. No, they knocking on the door. Now, Now, suddenly that many people showed up to my door. I would be a little freaked out. When the kids were younger, when they were all at home, we had six children, my motto was, what's one more? I'm already making a bunch of food. It really, feeding a couple more mouths is really not that big a deal. You know, what's a few more? But I have to say, I would probably feel an extra 20 to 25 people at my doorstep. And I have to admit, after reading the accounts of Mary and Martha, I don't know if you do that. You put yourself in a story. And all my friends do this with the TV show Friends. Like, you always identify with one character or the other, right? When you're watching a show or whatever. I'm more like that. I'm like this. So for me, I'm like the Martha. I've got to get things done, right? I'm the hostess with the mostest. I am busy all the time. I am going, going, going. And I have to say, I get frustrated and irritated when I'm in the middle of it and nobody's helping me. You can probably ask my family that. I am just like Martha. I'm not naturally like a Mary, sitting, again, not that it's bad, when things need to be done. As Mary was quiet, Martha was busy. Martha had a heart of devotion, but at this moment, I'm sorry, Mary had the heart of devotion, but Martha at this point had a heart of distraction. It says that Martha was distracted by many things. Can you relate? Does this hit home? This word distraction means pulled away from or pulled off track. What are the distractions in our life that are pulling us away from Jesus? Now, everyone take out your phones. Some of you, it's already in your hand, so that's not a hard ask. And what if I were to say, go ahead and just turn that off? Would a little panic maybe set in to some of you like, whoa, 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 whoa. How am I going to read the Bible, Julie, as you're reading? I mean, as you're preaching, you know, I need my phone on in my hand. What if somebody's texting me, I need to check the score of the game? You know, it's like, it's this thing, and it's just a weird thing that it's innately in you. It's just like, oh, my phone. And I do have an iPhone. And in fact, I think it actually just came up. So there's this setting or this app on my phone that measures your screen time. I don't know how to turn this on. I didn't turn it on. I kind of wish I knew how to turn it off, because every week, Sunday morning, I am not kidding you, it pops up and it tells me how I've spent my week. It says how much a day I've averaged on a device or my phone. And I don't look at it often, but sometimes I'll look at it. I'm like, was I even awake that many hours that day? Like, who's counting this? Like, I call party foul. Like, this is not, cannot be true. You know, we are distracted by so many things. It could be television. It could be news. It could be the sports. It could be working too much. Emails, texting, TikTok, social media. We live in a society where distractions are everywhere. And I think, maybe it's just me, our attention span is getting smaller and smaller. And even for me, like as I was trying to prepare for this message, I was sitting at my table writing things out, and I needed to get a Kleenex. So I thought, oh, the cupboard's right behind me. I'll grab a Kleenex. And I look down and I see a bunch of colorful bendy straws. And I thought to myself, why do I have so many bendy straws in this cupboard? And I'm thinking to myself, ooh, what kind of fun things can I do that? I'm going to be a grandma soon. I'm sure I'm going to learn how to, you know, I need to see what I can do with all these bendy straws. So I get out my phone and I look at Pinterest, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I concerned about something that's not going to happen for 5 years? But this is what distracts our time, right? And then it led to, oh, well, I have my phone out. I might as well check my emails, and I got to check my social media because 20 minutes ago, somebody must have done something exciting on Facebook. Like, and I'm talking to myself here. Like, I'm saying this is me. And some distractions are not necessarily bad things. Martha was not in the other room sinning or doing something bad or evil. No, what she was trying to do in her culture was honorable. She was doing something good, something righteous. And good things can also distract us from Christ. Now, I have to say, recovering from this knee surgery has been a huge distraction in my life. What I thought was going to be 6 weeks of recovery, I'm now on like week 11, 12. And I've had some complications. And so I'm thinking, you know, I go to doctor's appointments, I go to PT, I do PT at home, I do shock therapy. And then I think about, oh, I got to do it all over again. It's just this huge distraction. It's not like it's evil or bad. It's just something that's very consuming in my day. And also I can say ministry sometimes is that as well. I get so distracted and I get so focused on putting on an event like this or Family Fest coming in the summer. It's like I get so focused and so busy doing the things, I forget what really matters. And what is it that really matters is things that last forever, eternal, the souls of people. That's what Jesus is saying. The one thing that it'll never be taken away from her, it's an eternal thing. And the only thing that's going to last past this life is our souls, your friend's souls, your neighbor's souls. That's the only thing God is saying in this moment, is that's the only thing that matters. And I get so caught up in making sure the petunias are the right color. And it's like there's time for that, but I can't be just focused on that. And then she goes on back to Luke 10:40. It says, she, Martha, came up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Again, she approaches Jesus boldly. And the first thing she asks him is, do you not care? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said that to the Lord? I know I have. I know the years of us trying to get pregnant, and it would be month after month, year after year, I'd be crying out to the Lord and I'd be like, Lord, do you not care that I am heartbroken? Like the struggle is real. Do you not care that this circumstance, the situation will not change? And then you start to really think, do you even love me? This is our thing. And it's like, Lord, do you even care? The next thing she does is she blames her sister for leaving her to do all of the work. She felt all alone. And I'm sure none of us in this room have ever blamed somebody else for your life's frustrations. What was so-and-so? If they would have, they'd left me. They didn't, you know. We are all guilty of blaming others for what's really going on in our hearts. Now the scripture indicates that Mary was helping in the kitchen. It says that Mary was with her and then she left her, and that's when Martha got frustrated and felt very alone. But Mary knew when it was time to switch from being busy to being quiet, putting away the distractions and the focus and to focus on his presence. Lastly, she says to Jesus, not even really asking, she's like, tell her to help me. Like in good old fashioned old sister, who has an old sister, an oldest sister? You know, big sisters like to boss around. I've seen in my life, seen in my kids' life, big sisters are good at bossing around. Tell her to help me. Again, I love this because I can relate. Because how many times when I have prayed to Jesus and I have told him how to answer my prayer, I'm telling him what to do. It's like this directional prayer. It says we give the Lord a direction on how we want him to answer our prayers because we think we know best. We give him the best answer. We give him the best way. Lord, this is my prayer. This is how you should answer it. Okay, amen. No. We don't tell the Lord how to answer our prayers. And Martha's request was coming from a place of worry, anxiety, and stress. And you have to catch this. By being distracted by many things led to her being worried and upset about everything. So the more distractions, the more things that are pulling us away from the Lord, the more worry and the more anxiety we get. It's a cause and effect. We're distracted. We're away from the Lord. We're going to have more worry and stress in our life. And when that happens, I know for me, like I find myself in those times where I'm stressfully trying to pray to the Lord. Like I'm so stressed out about the situation. I've got this anxiety in me and I'm just praying. And I feel like I get more anxious as the prayer goes on. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like, it's not this prayer of faith. It's this prayer of like, freak out. And I catch myself doing that sometimes. Now I find it interesting in the very next chapter of Luke, chapter 11, it begins with Jesus teaching us on how to pray. And when I feel like my prayers are coming from that anxious, that fearful, that anxiety moment, the Lord brings me to the scripture, and it's how the Lord's Prayer, Luke 11, 2 through 4. It says, our Father, I take a deep breath and I try to just tone everything out. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, I start to filter my requests. It's okay to have a request. Through this prayer that the Lord says, this is how to pray. So you start not with coming saying, oh, I'm so anxious about this situation. Lord, you need to change this. Lord, you need to do this. No, you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is so great. Your words are so wonderful. Your life is not without vain. You start magnifying the Lord. And guess what happens? As you magnify the greatness of the Lord, your problems, your situations, your anxiety become a little less. And you say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You start to say, okay, Lord, I'm out of control with this. You are in full control. Lord, whatever you say, it will be. Whatever will you say, it will be good. And see, you start to lift, you call him great. You start to give him control back of the situations. He knows what you're going through. He doesn't want you to be in this anxiety and this stress. And so you give it up to him. And as you do that, the burdens begin to lift and my anxious heart becomes calm and I find peace knowing that God is in control. Now, after Martha is done venting to the Lord, let's see what Jesus has to say. He so lovingly responds to her, Martha, Martha. The Lord answers, you are worried and upset about many things. Now, he's not rebuking her. We would know if this was a rebuke. I remind you of the scripture in Matthew 16:23 and Mark 8:11. When Jesus rebuked Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. He is not rebuking Martha. And he is not Martha, Martha, giving her the middle name or her full name like your mama used to do like you were in trouble. He's not calling her by the middle name. No, this actually in this culture by saying your name twice was an act of compassion. And I imagine him taking her by the hands and saying, Martha, Martha, my darling, I know, I get it, I see, I understand that you are worried and upset about many things, but do you not understand? The one that can multiply bread is sitting here. I am teaching and you're worried about lunch. I am in this room and you're worried about the lunch. Do you not know I can take care of lunch? I just fed the 5,000 families. I can take care of 25 people. I can take care of you, is what God is saying. And he's expressing his love and care towards her. And back to the question in the beginning, what are the important things in life? Jesus is about to answer this. He says, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. He doesn't compare her to her sister. You know, that's the worst thing a parent can do or say, I wish you were more like your brother. I wish you were more like your sister. No, he created Mary and Martha very differently, and he loved them both the same. One personality is not better than the other. And at times I think, thank the Lord, because I tend to be that bold, obnoxious person in the room. I am not the sweet, quiet one. No one's ever accused me of being sweet. I'm nice, I suppose, but I'm just not that personality. And I have wrestled with that because I am not this, I'm not Mary. But God is saying, it doesn't matter. I created you. And what he's saying is they were both busy in the kitchen. But even though when they were both busy preparing, Mary knew when it was time to sit at Jesus' feet. She knew it was time to be in his presence. She knew when it was time to turn off the phone and sit. And every time stress and tension come into your life, you have a choice. You can choose to get quiet and allow Jesus to minister to you, or you can get busy and try to take care of everything yourself. And what I love most about Martha is that she did listen to Jesus and she learned. Like we said, we need to learn every day from our mistakes. And she changed her ways. Now, I don't have time to break down the next passage when Jesus and Martha met, but I want to just highlight this. There's a progression of Martha, how she was able to change. She obviously was able to sit in Jesus' presence because the next time a horrible situation, a stressful situation came into her life, you know what? She was able to respond differently. And this is the account in John 11, verses 1 through 44. Again, I'm not gonna read them all. And it's the account of Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus' death. Jesus was away and they sent word, Jesus, come heal our brother. We know you love him, you love us, and we know you are the healer. And Jesus delays coming for 2 days. And by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was dead. And we're gonna pick it up in verse 20. It says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Again, here's bold Martha approaching Jesus again. And here was Mary sitting in the house contemplating. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. You see, Martha was not accusing Jesus like, oh, it's all your fault. If you would have been there, he wouldn't have died. No, she's actually just pouring out her heart of disappointment, saying, man, that's such a bummer. I wish you could have been there. And sometimes it's okay to express the disappointments to the Lord, because you know what? He already knows how you're feeling, and it's okay. But you have to see the shift here in her response. She says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Her request was not telling him what to do like before in anxiety and worry and stress or grief. No, this is what she was saying. She was saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord Jesus, you are great. And whatever you say, you are in control. And you see, she had listened and she had learned from the words of Jesus. And even though Lazarus, at first, you know, she prayed what? She was asking the Lord to heal him. And it didn't turn out the way she had hoped. Death had come. But you know what? Sometimes when God answers our prayers, they are even better than what we ask. Right? Because what did he do? He raised him from the dead, and they were able to experience Jesus in a new way, this facet of him that they never knew, that you know what? That he was the resurrection. You guys can stand with me now, and I'll close. Now, I think of all of the times that I've walked past the living room of intimacy with Jesus, to go straight into the kitchen of distraction and busyness. And you guys are like, I do it all the time. I go past the living room and I go straight to the kitchen. I go past being quiet and still with him, and I go just to being busy about him. And I have wasted so much time being distracted by things that don't really matter. And just like Jesus said, the one thing that matters, something that is eternal, and like I said, it's the souls around you that matter. I've wasted so much energy and stress on things I couldn't control, things that people may have done to us. I can't control it. And I've just wasted so much energy. And I look back and I'm like, man, I'm such a knucklehead. Why couldn't I have learned it as quick as Martha? And I think back when the babies, the quadruplets were born, and I'm like, how are we going to afford diapers for all these? I mean, it was like 200 diapers a week we were going through. Lord, how are we going to do this? Being stressed about it, and miraculously God provides. Then they get into elementary school. August is coming, and you know what that means? Everybody needs a new pair of shoes. And we're like, how are we gonna, and I know you guys look at our life now and you think this never happened, but we're like, Lord, how are we going to buy shoes for our children? And the Lord is saying, Julie, darling, do you not remember all of the diapers that I provided, all the days you stressed about that, and I provided? Then they get older and the braces got crooked teeth, Lord. They're all going everywhere. And I never wanted my child to be conscious about a smile. And I'm like, Lord, how are we going to afford braces? And he's like, Julie, do you not remember the diapers and the shoes? And then their college education. And I'm like, that was like decades of worry of how the Lord was going to provide their college education. And each and every one of them have a beautiful story of how the Lord provided. But Mike and I would stay up at night worried about this stuff. And God is saying, stop worrying about it. I got it. I got the diapers. I got the shoes. I got the braces. I can provide your lunch today. And you see, life is a journey of learning what is important. And as I think back on those days as I was a kid, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, thinking back those summertime days sitting underneath that tree in the shade, drinking our patchouli Kool-Aid. And there was not a worry in the world. And I think sometimes that's how the Lord wants to live our life in moments. I'm not saying it could be like that all the time, but He wants you to take a moment to sit at His feet, to look up at the sky, to imagine what the clouds may be. He wants you to just take a moment and say, you know what? Just let Him take all the carries, all the stress, all the worries of this life. Just like we were a kid, there was no worry. And He can take all those worries from you and put them in His hands. And I just want to pray, Lord, I just thank You for this day. Lord, I just thank You how much You love us. Lord, how much we don't get it sometimes. And each day You continue to help us learn, Lord, how to deal with life circumstances just a little bit better. And in this place today, I just feel like there are several of you that feel this anxiousness about you in your soul and in your spirit. You're worried about many things. It may not be lunch, it may not be shoes, but you are worried about many things. And the Lord is saying, I got you. The Lord is saying, let it down. The Lord is saying, sit at My feet just for a moment. Put the distractions down. Come into the living room with Me, and I will give you rest. He will take those burdens from you, and He will give you rest. And as you walk out today, I want you to just think about that, that Lord, You remove the yoke, You remove the burden. Lord, and as we sit in Your presence, Lord, things change. And others of you may think, man, this eternal thing, this soul thing, Lord, I just pray that a supernatural burden in our hearts, Lord, be about Your business. Lord, not about our busyness, but what is Your business? And Lord, Your business is eternal. And the only thing that is eternal in this life is souls. And I pray right now that You give us a burden for our neighbors. You give us a burden for our coworkers, because you know what? The time is coming soon when He is coming back to that place in Bethany, and He wants to take as many with Him. And you are His conduits to do that. You are able to do the one thing that matters to Jesus, is to minister to souls around you. Lord, we just thank You for Your loving kindness, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for every lady, every gentleman in here today, Lord, that You are patient and You are good with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.